Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good evening, Browns fans. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That means it's time for OBR Weekly. My name's Barry McBride. I'm publisher of the OBR. That guy right over there, that's the legend, Mr. Freddie Greetham. You got to point backwards. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Is that kind of why selfies look backwards?
Exactly.
Like woman mirrors or something?
Same principle.
Okay.
Well, my purpose here on this show is to route your comments and questions to that guy who has the answers, because he's been covering the Cleveland Browns for well nigh a couple of decades going on here for a little while. And he knows a little bit about this Cleveland Browns franchise and can answer your questions. So please hit us up in the comments and via X or however you are tuned into this broadcast, and we will get to your questions. In the meantime, while those pile up, we're going to cover some of the news of the week, Fred. And, of course, we had some news today that the Cleveland Browns signed a veteran running back by the name of Donta Foreman. He's a big guy. He's 6 foot, 235 pounds. He's a bit of a pounder. Let me check his stats here. He ran for 425 yards on 109 carries last year for the Bears, I believe it was. Only caught the ball 11 times, so he's not a frequent pass catcher out of the backfield. Seems to me that means, Kareem Hunt probably not coming back to the Cleveland Browns. What do you think of the signing? Where do you think he fits in the backfield?
Well, subscribers, the OBR are not surprised. I mean, I wrote six steps to get you back to the playoffs in 24. And the number four step was add a running back. And I just did a free agency reset, I think yesterday, on offense. And Donta Foreman was the second one. Second option. I had J.K. Dobbins because I just thought he would be a little more upside and he would be a little more motivated, have not played. But no, I think it's a very prudent move. I still wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a running back in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Andrew Berry likes to do that. That's where he got Jerome Ford. Mm-hmm. So, I think I talked about it on here last week. There was several top tier-ish free agent running backs the Browns didn't go heavy at. We heard there was some going at Zach Moss, but they were offering just like 1 year deals. Right. Well, I looked at that as good news for Browns fans that Nick Chubb might not be as far off as anticipated, because there'd be more of a panic button, I think, to get a bigger name running back or a top tier. But this signing, is right in the wheelhouse. I'm sure it's going to come out very team friendly, 1 year deal and incentive laden. Guy like this, like Kareem Hunt, going to be very motivated to get, to do well. And it gives them good insurance. Should Nick Chubb start the season inactive or on the pup list or whatever. I didn't like going into the season with just Jerome Ford and then a bunch of questions like Pierre Strong. I don't look at the Nyheim Hines as a running back necessarily. I see him more as a returner, maybe a back on third down catching passes. But, yeah, this is more of your – between the tackles, short line, short goal line, what Kareem Hunt. excelled at. He had, what, 9 touchdowns in the regular season rushing and 2 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Kareem Hunt was coming back. Haven't heard his name mentioned much. I am going to an event about a month from today with him, so I will have the latest on that. But, yeah, as far as Foreman, like I said, I think it's a logical, makes sense, you know, choice.
Obviously, whenever you do anything at running back, people are questioning, what does this mean about Nick Chubb, right? Is there anything that you think that we can read into this about Nick Chubb's health, courtesy Fumble 13?
I don't think you can read. People try to read in between everything, but obviously, you know, that's how we work in our minds. But no, I think they probably talked to Foreman. I wouldn't be surprised if they talked to him when they were talking to some of those other guys. Mm-hmm. You know, the word came out about Zach Moss and made an offer. And now he's looking around. Okay, this is my best offer, you know. And so I think that's kind of how it works. I don't think it's just like today they got word Nick Chubb is really in bad shape. We got to get this guy. Okay. Right. I don't think anything's changed. I think he's still ahead of schedule, but he's ahead of schedule with 2 major or at least 1 major surgery, an ACL and an MCL, and coupled together, big injuries. I don't know if anybody knows exactly. We like to say, okay, you know, this is when he's going to be ready to go. And I don't think anybody knows, you know. Realistically, I would think that if he started the year on the physically unable to perform and came back after 4, 6, 8 weeks, something like that, it would be a big shot in the arm for the stretch drive. I think what you want him for, you'd like to have him all year, but I think you'd like to have him for the second half of the season, a perceived, stretch drive for the playoffs and playoffs. So I wouldn't see why they'd push him. You know, it does no good to push him to get him out there in September if he's, you know, even if he's way ahead of schedule. I just think that you go into the season with Ford, Strong, Hines, Foreman, you know, even if they only keep 3 of them on the roster.
Okay. I think that's fair. Seems like a Deuce Staley pick. I mean, Deuce Staley has said some positive things about Dante Foreman in the past. We might be starting to see a little bit of his influence with the signing as well. He seems to like this particular player. Next up in the news from the previous day, the Browns inked Jerry Jeudy to a big whopping contract. They invested a reported $58 million in the wide receiver. Pretty significant investment in a guy that some people have been critical about, Steve Smith and others, about being a little bit of an underachiever. Fred, what do you think about this deal? Just give me your honest take. Do you think that this is, like a lot of people are saying, an overpayment for Jerry Jeudy? Or do you think that this is a savvy investment in a guy who will be your number one receiver when Amari Cooper eventually is no longer a Brown?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Andrew Berry really likes the guy because he's been linked to the Browns. I was looking through, like, a year ago this time, and I had a shell story written on Jerry Jeudy because there was rumors that the Browns were after him this time last year. And then, of course, at the trade deadline, the Browns were, you know, talking to the Broncos about a trade deadline. So he really likes the guy. I had him as like the third best option, you know, of a trade. And it's just really because he's not like an Amari Cooper that's been there, done that, that you know exactly what you're getting. There was a lot of criticism about Cooper because he thought he's on the downside of his career. He's getting paid too much money. That's why the Cowboys were getting rid of him. So it was a great move for the Browns. Very similar with Jeudy. I think almost the same compensation, a fifth and sixth round pick, and a guy, they renegotiated his contract right away, and they did that with Judy. My only downside with it is I haven't followed him, and no, but I know he hasn't put up the same type numbers, you know, that some of the other more established receivers have. You know, a guy like Mike Williams or, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously the Browns went this route as opposed to trading. You know, with Williams getting released, they could have signed him, or they could have known that, or they could have traded for him. So they feel good about it. And I don't mind that. I don't really care about the money myself. The Andrew Berry has been able to, because he's got an owner that's willing to put out a lot of money, that is kind of your sin eating. You know, the money, the cash, as Jack Duffin talks about, just kind of does cover up mistakes, you know, that if you're wrong, and they've been much better at trading than they have in drafting. I would much rather make this move for Judy than draft a guy in the second round and hope he's really good, because that just hasn't worked out. I realize they've just done third rounders, but I would rather have a guy. He has a track record. He had, I think, just under 1,000 yards. So is it because he had bad quarterback play? You know, I thought Russell Wilson was pretty good, but I don't know. Or is it just because he just needs fresh scenery? Browns are banking that he needs fresh scenery. And if they feel good about it, they feel this is the biggest move of the offseason, that can put them over the top, okay, so be it. I'm a little skeptical. I want to see him do it. I don't want, you know, I guess I'm more for the guy that's already been there and might be at the peak or on the downside, as opposed to a guy that you're doing all this on potential. Because I look at Elijah Moore, a lot of potential. They hyped him, and I didn't see really anything spectacular out of him last year. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe this is a completely different animal with Jerry Jeudy, but I think he's definitely an upgrade. I mean, he's a starter. I mean, he's ahead of Donovan Peoples-Jones. They moved on from him, and he's ahead of Elijah Moore, and he's ahead of everybody else on the roster. I was wanting somebody that fell in there better than Amari Cooper, or at least as good as Amari Cooper, but he's, in my opinion, between Cooper and Moore. Now, maybe he's going to blossom. He blossoms. Browns are in a great position. I mean, you know, they realistically, of all their options, might have been their best option. You know, you got a guy whose future's ahead of them, and they're putting all chips. I thought they'd give him a little time, see how they liked him before they extended him. But I guess they're expecting a big season, and they're afraid that he'd become a free agent, I guess. So they decided to go for it now and hedge their bets.
Yeah, a little bit of speculation among the OBR team and also Fumble here that Judy's not going to look like not going to look that expensive when Brandon Ayuk and some of these others get signed, and when the cap keeps going up here in future years, and they've locked up a high potential wide receiver in a market that just keeps exploding, you know, high inflation in the wide receiver market these days. We'll see.
One thing that's kind of curious to me is they right away extended him. They haven't done that with Elijah Moore. So I don't know, you know, he's in the last year of his thing, and maybe they still will, but you would just think if you were sold, didn't want him to get away, that you would sign him to an extension. So,
right.
I know he's under that rookie contract and it's real, real cheap right now. So maybe they just want to keep it there for now.
Did you think Elijah Moore really got featured in, you know, more as a number two wide receiver rather than as a slot last year? And now with Judy, will be more as a slot receiver, and that might be more apropos for him.
Yeah, I guess just you know, the advertising and what we saw back from Greenbrier, it looked like Moore was going to be the focal point of the offense. I mean, he was in motion every play. He was running out of the back, you know, and they started the year seeming like they were going to try to do that, but it wasn't working, those end arounds and here and there. But no, I don't know if they ever really had him in the right role. So ideally, you know, the slot could be his answer, and he could get some. He had one game, I think Cooper didn't play, that he was featured, and he had some pretty good numbers. So, you know, I think, I mean, everything always comes back to Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson plays 16, 17 games, I think all these guys are going to look good. When you got four or five quarterbacks and you have a couple that weren't very good at getting the ball to the receivers, and your running game was suspect after Nick Chubb went down, it kind of taints the whole thing. But if Deshaun Watson plays the whole season, you know, I'm not comparing him to Pat Mahomes, but Pat Mahomes can make pedestrian receivers seem like they're really good. You know, they had guys the last two or three years that weren't really household names.
Right.
And you're like, wow, they traded Tyreek Hill and everybody thought the world was over. And they got production out of several guys that weren't big names at all. So I think that's what the Browns are counting on. And we just haven't seen enough of Watson. You know, he'll get going, and then he was out. Then he get going, then he was out.
And, yeah.
You know, and it just – that's the bottom line. You can go back to that on wide receiver, running back, the running game, you know, or all the way around, is that if you have him playing, it's going to lift the boats all the way around, you know, as opposed to, you know, when you got your fourth, fifth quarterback playing, you're limited. There's a reason.
Right. And the coach gets a lot smarter when your starting quarterback plays well too. We are still looking for comments and questions in the chat room. So, guys, do your job. I've got 9 of them stashed away for when I'm done with my lame questions. I can tell you guys are not on your game because no one's pestered us about Mike Vrabel yet. There's no questions about Mike Vrabel, so you have to deal with mine. Mike Vrabel, now a Cleveland Brown, Fred. He is lurking around Berea. And all they said... is that he's a coaching and personnel assistant. And how do they get away with that? What's that Berea speak for? What do you think Vrabel will actually be doing for the Cleveland Browns this year?
The coaching is a fraternity. You know, some of our people don't know, Jim Schwartz had a medical issue with a thyroid a couple years ago, and he stepped down from coaching. But he still wanted to be around the game. And Vrabel was the head coach of the Titans, and he invited him to come down and be a consultant. So for 2 years, Jim Schwartz was a consultant with the Titans, meaning another set of eyes in the coach's room and so forth. And Vrabel did not, you know, after getting fired by the Titans, for whatever reason, he didn't get hired as a head coach. I mean, you have two options when you get let go. You can go be an announcer, you know, in the studios or something, you know, like Sean Payton did and, you know, Urban Meyer did. And then, or you can stay in the game and take an assistant job. I think he might have wanted to, you know, be a little more particular. He's from Akron, Canton area. You know, he played at Ohio State. Everybody knows his background. But you got Jim Schwartz saying, hey, why don't we bring Vrabel in here? And rather than sitting at home and not doing anything, this is a nice chance to evaluate how the Browns do things. He's right. Going to be in the inner workings. I don't think anybody thinks this guy's not going to be a head coach within a year or so, maybe next year. And so – you know, that's what it's kind of like you're in park, you know, kind of waiting for your next move. And that's what I say. I think it's a good move. I mean, for him, keeps him in the game, and the Browns. You get another set of eyes, a head coach. You lost Bill Callahan. Kevin Stefanski talked about having Bill Callahan's office on one side and Jim Schwartz on the other side. And he was constantly in their offices as a head coach. What do you do? What'd you do in this case? What'd you do in this case? And now you got Vrabel. So you got Vrabel and Jim Schwartz, you know, former head coaches. So I'm sure Vrabel will be an NFL head coach, if not Ohio State head coach.
Don't tell Ryan Day.
Okay. Well, if he doesn't beat Michigan next year.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wearing my Ohio State stuff tonight. So, yeah, I'm all about beating Michigan. Vrabel, you know, I think this is a particularly savvy move on his part. If you look at his background, it's all Belichick, right? And then he went to Tennessee. And so he's seen that one way of doing things, the Belichick way. And now he gets to see a brand new way of doing things. And I think it's a very smart move on his part to see how a completely different type of organization does things. I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to go to questions from the gang here. I've got 12 of them now stashed away. So you get to stop dealing with my dumb questions. But the last question is about Tyler Huntley. And as soon as Tyler Huntley got signed, there was all kinds of conspiracy theories. You know, either this means that DTR is not as highly regarded as we thought he was, or Watson's not going to be ready, you know, so they need three quarterbacks, or, you know, a guy to back up Winston, or whatever. Do you have a favorite conspiracy theory, or what's your reasoning as to why they went out and got Tyler Huntley?
Well, first of all, I remember you bringing up that name, one of our first talks about free agency. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you kudos there. Now, this is what I think happened. I think when they're looking at possible backup veteran quarterbacks, they talked to him. And they stayed in touch with him. And they probably knew that he wasn't getting a lot of offers for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And made an offer to him. You know, maybe a bare bones, you know, offer. Well, anyway, he took it. So, you know, I was part of a call with Jameis Winston today. And I'm warming up to him. I mean, I was impressed with him. I haven't followed his career since he was the number one pick and all that stuff. I knew he had some baggage. The kid's grown up. I should say kid, he's 30, married, couple kids, spoke very well, called all the reporters by their name, you know, really, really acted and, you know, said a lot of good things, what he's there for and so forth. And I talked to somebody outside the Browns organization that works with players with the Browns, kind of a counseling, that type of service. Mm-hmm. DeMario Davis, who some of our sage Browns fans would know, he used to play for the Browns. Right. He's with the Saints. He's one of the leaders down there. He spoke very highly of Jameis Winston as a leader. And this individual I'm referring to, Davis gave him his number, and he called him unsolicited and wanted to, you know, talk about getting together and being a resource up here. That said a lot to me, you know, mm-hmm. that Winston, one of the first calls before he even got here, was seeking out, you know, a highly regarded, you know, like a consultant or a counselor type person. Right. And so right there, I was already warming up to it. Then when I heard what he had to say today, very impressive. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully he can play. But it goes back again to Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson's on the field playing the way he's expected, you're never going to see Huntley or Winston or DTR or whatever. But going back to this particular thing, if you remember last year after the training camp, Arizona Cardinals were kind of in a lurch, and they came to the Browns and said, we'll take the guaranteed contract of Josh Dobbs and we'll give you a draft pick. And what'd they do? They traded it. You look at all these trades. Some of the best moves Andrew Berry's made since he's been here has been trades. He traded for Za'Darius Smith. He traded for Amari Cooper. He traded for Elijah Moore. He traded for Jerry Jeudy. And those were like fifth, sixth round picks, seventh round picks. What you can see happen here is, say, Huntley plays well in the preseason, or Winston plays well in the preseason, or DTR. And they come down to the end of the roster cuts and some team has an injury or a quarterback situation and you see one of these guys getting traded for a draft choice or more. And so I just think it's an asset swap because you're not putting a lot of money into this. You know, these are minimum, you know, veteran minimum deals. And to these guys, draft choices are gold. If you can flip Huntley or you can flip Winston or DTR for a draft choice or even a starting player that you might like or something, you know, that's what I think is going to happen. Is there going to be four guys on the roster at quarterback next year? No. You know, they'll most have three and they would like to only have two and one on the practice squad, but they're afraid, you know, whoever the third one is now would be picked by another team. So we'll see how it plays out. Plus, we're not even talking injury. You know, if Watson got hurt or Winston got hurt or DTR got hurt or Huntley got hurt, you got three guys still. So, you know, I just think it's acquiring assets. You know, I don't think it has anything. I heard people say, well, maybe Winston isn't really coming here because he hadn't officially signed and those type of things. Well, no, that's not the case at all. So I think it's a good move, you know, and at this time last year, the Browns had four quarterbacks. You go into training camp or the off-season program with four quarterbacks. This year's quarterback room is immensely upgraded over last year's. At this time last year, you had Deshaun Watson. You had a rookie, well, after the draft, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Kellen Mond, and Josh Dobbs, okay? This year, you have Deshaun Watson, Jameson Winston, Tyler Huntley, and DTR. That's a major upgrade. It's almost the pendulum swung totally the other way. After last year going into the season with a bare cupboard after trading Dobbs, and I think they learned from that lesson this year. Boy, you've got some backup insurance right now. I mean, if I feel a lot better about having Winston stepping in than I do what they had at this time last year. Now, yeah, Flacco, everybody was in love with him. But when you look at him, I think a 30-year-old that was a former number one pick overall, you got a better chance of him. And what people don't overlook sometimes with Flacco is he stepped into a pretty good situation, you know, with this offense. And Winston hasn't really been in a great situation. You know, the Saints have been kind of rebuilding or floundering, and he didn't really play last year. When he played a couple years ago, he had some pretty good numbers. He throws a lot of interceptions, but so did Joe Flacco. And you saw what he did in the playoffs. So I wanted Flacco, but I can see why they did this. And I think he puts you in a better position overall if something happened to Deshaun Watson.
Well, one of the questions we got is from Chris here. And he specifically, you know, I'm not asking you to be a media critic here, Fred. These are your peers who you see all the time. But there was a lot of concern in the media when Flacco was, you know, not offered and Winston was, and all kinds of stuff coming out about the Browns not listening to the fans and all this sort of stuff. Why do you think that there was that concern? Was it just because Flacco was so popular, or did people think that Flacco was just a great fit for this offense for some reason?
Well, he had done things that nobody had ever done. You know, when you throw out five straight 300-yard games and mm-hmm. no Cleveland Browns quarterback had ever done that in their first five games or four games. I mean, those are impressive, and you can't undo that. And that's what they saw. I do think there would be some unrest if Watson struggled, but I really don't think that came into play in their decision. Realistically, when you look at this, okay, I'll just say I haven't really followed Jameis Winston. All I remember, he's the number one pick. He had some good years at the beginning, but he was kind of a immature guy. He kind of had some off-the-field problems, maybe not to the extent of Deshaun Watson, but he played pretty well. I don't have his number. I think 2018 or 19 or something like that, even 20. One of those years he had some pretty good numbers. He threw for over 4,000 yards early in his career in a season. But we're talking about a backup quarterback who's 30 years old, former number one pick. I know a lot of people love Baker Mayfield. I know a lot of people don't love Baker Mayfield. But what you saw last year, you saw him starting to look at his situation. He'd bounced around four or five times, and he really had a good year with Tampa, and he got rewarded. I think mm-hmm. there was some maturity there, and I think he's just owned up to, this is my situation. I'm going to have to, you know, get back to the basics. And I think that's what's happened with Winston. I think he's accepting his role. He wants to play, but I think he's matured. He talked about getting married, having two kids, and his faith. And I've talked to outside people that have said the guy is a changed individual from what he was earlier in his career. I think a lot of us are different from being 21 to being even 30. So mm-hmm. I'm going to give it there. But physically, he's big, strong arm. He's got everything a Joe Flacco has, but he can also be mobile. So that goes into the mantra of the mobile skill set that a Watson has, or even a Tyler Huntley has, or a DTR has. So he fits more of that. But I think for a stopgap guy, with the Browns' weapons in the line and Njoku and running game, assuming you got Chubb at some point, and the wide receivers, Amari Cooper, I wouldn't be surprised if Winston stepped in and thrived, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I don't think Joe Flacco's – there's a reason nobody called the guy. He left the Ravens in 2018, I think, when Lamar Jackson was there, and he kind of bounced around and wasn't really given a shot at a starter other than, a quick little bridge until Zach Wilson or here or there, and he did well in the time he got to play, but – I just think when the dust settles and you look at, I can see why the Browns, we're not talking about more money, that they paid Winston over right. Flacco. So we'll see. But if Winston is a dud, there's another reason why you got Huntley, and you got two guys instead of just having DTR. I'd want to know why the Colts jumped on Flacco instead of like a Huntley. He seems mm-hmm. to be more in tune with the Anthony Richardson skill set, who's a running type quarterback and, mobile and all that. So, everybody has their own things, and they saw what a lot of fans saw. So maybe he'll do well over there in that system.
Yeah. I can't explain what the Colts do, but what I can do is I can talk about our sponsor, Core Home Fitness. You can find them at corehomefitness.com. If you want to get yourself in shape, look up our friends at Core Home Fitness. Don't be like a web dork. Get their assortment of lifting equipment, and especially check out their top-rated adjustable dumbbells, top-rated by New York Times and Men's Health, the best buy rated by Consumers Reports. Check out their videos and other products at corehomefitness.com, and crush your goals in 2024. This group has a U.S.-based support team, fast shipping, hassle-free returns, you name it, they know what you're doing. So check out Core Home Fitness for the ultimate in home fitness equipment, and bring the gym home. And once again, thank you so much to Core Home Fitness for supporting the OBR, supporting our work, trying to bring quality Cleveland Browns coverage to the fans. So thank you, Core Home Fitness. All right, let's get back to your questions here on OBR Weekly. Let's get to the next one. This comes from Kelly. And the question is, it seems as if the Browns are looking for bodies on that defensive line. Do you see them using their first pick on a wide receiver? This is the same question I have. I talked about it this morning in the newswire. We've built out our wide receiver core a little bit. I know that Moore's a free agent. Cooper may not stick around forever. That we're looking, still looking for young talent there, but are you still committed to thinking like all these mock drafters are, Fred, that it's necessarily going to be a wide receiver in the second round this year?
No, I haven't really even looked at them, to be honest. I still am focused on the one-year veteran free agent or a trade. The Browns are trying to win now, and I think anybody they are trying to look at right now is for this year, not the long term. Sure, you got to have some long term, but you know, when you saw the move they did with Jerry Jeudy, obviously they see him as a long term, and a lot'll be how it goes. I still wouldn't put it past and still would like a veteran wide receiver on a 1 year deal that's been there, done that. I'm not convinced Cedric Tillman or David Bell are going to step in and be awesome in their second year or third year. Tillman, I favor more. I think he's got a better chance to be the fourth receiver. But we know injuries occur. And if you're going to, you know, you're continually trying to surround Deshaun Watson with weapons, you got Amari Cooper and David Njoku who've been there, done that with the Browns. Elijah Moore kind of had a pretty decent year, but you really don't know yet what you got with Jerry Jeudy. You know, the receivers are getting gobbled up, but I could still see them, you know, when the dust settles, if some of these guys that are unsigned are still there and they offer them a one-year deal, a prove-it deal, then maybe they could bring somebody in, you know, and do that. That being said, last year they traded for Elijah Moore. They signed a veteran speed receiver in free agency to a one-year deal, and they draft their first pick in the draft was a wide receiver. So I could see them, even though they got Jerry Jeudy in a trade, still drafting a receiver in the second round. I think the Browns are now in a position where they can start taking the best available player. A lot will tell you there. You know, they did a minor signing at tackle, but if there's a DeJuan Jones sitting there type that was supposed to go in the second round or first round, Browns got him in the fourth round. I don't think anybody, they weren't expecting to take a tackle there. But it's, let's say there's a first high second round pick offensive tackle sitting there. I could see him taking a tackle there. Yeah. I could see him taking a wide receiver. There's a lot of good wide receivers. It just depends on how they view them. I could see him taking an edge rusher, you know, if one's there. It just depends on who's there. I think you're in a, you know, we remember the days, Barry, when the Browns were drafting, like everybody they drafted had to start. You know, it's like, we don't have a pick till the fourth round, but he's going to be the starting defensive end because they don't have anybody else, right. You know, or Bo Bell. First, he was like a fourth-round pick that
year. Fourth-round pick, yeah.
And, you know, come on. The Browns are much deeper. Most of their positions, they're getting more and more, not many roster spots available because you're bringing back last year's team and you've upgraded at several positions. So you're going for depth. So do I think they're locked into a wide receiver? No. Do I think they might draft one? Yes. And I think they probably will in the second or third round, something like that. But I think they'll take a running back somewhere on the third day. I see them maybe addressing linebacker. You know, they haven't put a lot into the linebacker. They've got Hicks and Bush. Those are the two starting positions that they lost, and they feel they upgraded at least one so far. So, yeah, I don't think they're locked in anywhere, and I wouldn't be surprised anywhere they go, including offensive linemen or tight end. If there's a tight end they feel that could immediately get on the field behind Njoku, I think that's wide open because Jordan Akins didn't strike the fear of God in me or many opponents last year.
He certainly did not. I'm with you. I think they can take best player available. Just so happens the best player available is going to be Michael Hall of the Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm not biased. Just going to be Michael Hall. That's all. Let's go to the next question. Tyson on X asks, when do you think a Chubb restructure will get done, could get done? And we don't have Jack Duffin with us today. He would know down to the millisecond when it makes sense for a Chubb restructure to get done. But, you know, it can really happen any time now, wouldn't you think, Fred? I mean, there's no dramatic urgency for a restructure to happen right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping you're not talking about restructuring his knee.
Yeah, no,
we're not going to start anything. No, I just think, you know, there's really no hurry, no rush. I mean, he'd be one of the candidates if they have a signing, they need to free up money. But right now, you don't really need to free up money until you have somebody you're signing. But I think that's one of the things with the Deshaun Watson. They really don't have to redo his contract. One of these years, they could just eat it so they're not kicking it down and down the road. I know Jack is saying they will. Same thing. I saw Jack was mentioning something, you know, about, you know, the leverage, you know, goes away the longer it goes. I'm not quite sure. I don't think they want to necessarily pressure. I think it takes two sides. And if Chubb's people come to him and say, hey, let's get something done, they'll probably get something done. But I don't know if it's a top priority. I know last year at Greenbrier, all the free agent running backs were really getting not getting the big contracts. And right. Chubb spoke about it because he was like the last man standing, and that he could be in the same situation this year. Well, obviously everything's changed for him with the injury. And so I think he might feel to some degree that he's got to, you know, get the biggest thing he can, because then it falls, you know, obviously the injury is a big thing, but I think that he feels some loyalty to some of the other running backs that he's got to, you know, come out of this with a pretty good showing for the running back crew.
Yeah. Last year they had that big conference call and all that, where they were talking about contracts for running backs and just the way the league is changing. Humble13 asks, if Nyheim Hines is a returner, why sign Prochet? If he signed, does that make David Bell? With him signed, does that make David Bell expendable? And to me, this looks like competition, Fred. Competition at returner, and that's never a bad thing, is it?
No, and, you know, I know Hines. I remember him more as a kick returner, and I remember Prochet as more a punt returner. Seems like in the specialist world, it's becoming more and more specialty. You know, if you remember Jakeem Grant experiment, Pro Bowl returner, they were going to have him kick and punt, gave him a pretty good check. Ruptured his Achilles the first year, made the comeback. They tested him in the last preseason game before roster cuts to see if he was ready to go. And unfortunately, on the first opening kickoff, he blew out his ACL. They were really counting on having a good return guy. So why not have two guys? So if you lose one, you're not stuck again. The last 2 years, they really didn't have a return guy because Grant went down. And so they were – well, and Jalen Darden got hurt in training camp. He was going to be the de facto. So I don't know if Proche is just looked at as a punt returner and Hines a kick returner, but I know that Ventrone had Hines with Indy, and so he likes him. He can do maybe a little more in the running game as far as a receiver. Proche wasn't used much as a wide receiver. So there's a lot between now and the end of training camp. A lot of players will get injured. A lot of things will happen. You never seem to have too many. If you count on just one of these guys, one goes down, then you're picking up a guy kind of off the waiver wire and hoping. That's what they did with Proche. And he did pretty well at punt return. He actually had better numbers than Peoples Jones and some of the other guys they've had. So, and I don't know if Hines does both or what, but I just think it's probably a low risk, high upside move. And they're hoping, you know, they can catch something with the two of them.
Next question from E. Gillen. He asked, does Fred feel Ricci can replace, or Ricky, however you pronounce it, can replace Bryant at tight end, or is he primarily a fullback?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him, but what I read about him, I think he's one of these Swiss Army knives. And that's when you look on offense, the Browns offense final depth chart, the only starter not coming back on offense was a fullback. They had Nick Harris listed as a fullback. Well, we know he left the Seahawks. He was also the backup center and guard. And they used him in short yardage, you know, as an H-back and so forth. Harrison Bryant many times was the fourth down quarterback sneak guy, or he was the lead blocker like H-back out of the tight end position. I think they see Ricci as all of those things. He can be the fullback where Harris was, he could be a tight end like Bryant was. So I think he can really fill Bryant's role and Harris's role. Now, I don't know as far as catching passes, or I don't think he's done much of that at all. That's where Akins is more of a pass catching tight end. That's why I still think they'll bring in an all around tight end that can catch passes and block. Could be a kid they draft. You know, there wasn't many in the free agency list that I saw. I saw Logan Thomas was about the only name I recognized as a true tight end. So I think they're looking at him as kind of a jack of all trades. He can do a little bit what Harris did. He can do a little bit what Bryant did. And they haven't really run out of a fullback situation the last year or two. So when Harris became that was kind of a new thing. And they took the third wide receiver off the depth chart and made it a fullback. Now they could add Judy along with Elijah Moore and Cooper and go back to three wide receivers listed, or also put Ricci in that fullback role.
Right. Well, he's got a couple opportunities to make the roster. R.J. McCready, holding on to his bottle of booze in Antarctica, wants us to look in the crystal ball and see if there's any prospect for a trade down from the second round. Andrew Berry sure likes doing that, doesn't he? Doesn't he, Fred?
Right now, after trading the two picks, I think they right now have five picks. So in the first one in the second round, I could see him going up or down. If they don't really think somebody's a guy that they really like greatly with their at 54, 55. Yeah, I could see that happening like they've done several times where they get multiple guys. The year they got Emerson, I think they got Cade York, they got like 3 fourth round guys because they thought they'd all be there. And they were guys they were considering taking in the third round or whatever. So yes, I could also see them going up. If there's somebody, you know, 8-10 picks ahead of them that they're afraid is going to be gone and they really think this player could help them this year, I could see them going up. But I'd say more likely they went down than up. But I wouldn't put past trading the pick if you could get a starting player. That's what they did last year. They traded their 44th pick overall because they felt Elijah Moore could be that starting wide receiver opposite of Amari Cooper. So it could be a defensive end. It could be a defensive tackle, linebacker. It could be a wide receiver. It could be anybody if they feel that guy can really step in and help them right now. But they have on paper like their entire starting lineup now from both teams, both sides of the ball back. Other than the two linebackers, Taki Taki and Walker, they replaced Walker with Hicks. I don't know what they think about Bush, if he's slated in as the starter or not, or just depth. And then on offense, like I said, Harris was the only starter. I'm counting all the injured guys, you know, coming back. So I think that it's going to take, you know, somebody they really like and they feel could be a starter. Otherwise, they'll pick somebody there, you know, to fill in for depth.
Right. Let's go to the next question. Sort of a general question. I accused the Browns of pulling off the most boring free agency in recent memory because they're just re-signing their old guys, you know, no big splashy, desperate moves. But overall, I think they've gotten stronger. And chat username wants your perspective on how much better or stronger the Browns roster is going into 2024.
Well, I'm working on, you know, how they, I said that series six steps to make the playoffs that, and I'm going to, you know, update what they did, what I think they did. But as far as just, you start keeping your own players. There's nobody they lost that I feel they just can't live without. I mean, Anthony Walker was a nice leader, but he's clearly on the downside of his career. The last 2 years finished on injury reserve. Taki Taki, I liked him, but anybody that watched those guys in coverage, they were getting beat, especially in the playoffs. They couldn't stay with the, you know, the guys they were covering. And so I think because you had these guys already in the team, I don't think you appreciate how good or how big it was to bring Za'Darius Smith back and how big it was to bring Shelby Harris back. You added Quentin Jefferson, who is a major upgrade, in my opinion, over Jordan Elliott. Jordan Elliott, the coaches, everybody talked about him, but I can remember him doing a whole lot, you know, making two or three plays. Quentin Jefferson had six sacks from the defensive tackle position. If he did that with the Browns last year, he would have been the only guy that didn't have more than Myles Garrett. So that's got to help. So that's a major upgrade over Elliott. The linebacker, I think Jordan Hicks is improvement over either Taki Taki or Walker. So on defense, you have everybody improved. The injured guys are back. On offense, I already mentioned that. Everybody returns healthy, assuming. And that includes Chubb. So the only one you lost was Nick Harris, who was in the starting lineup because that's what they called a fullback. And I think, you know, they at least replaced him. So the Jerry Jeudy, that's the big move, trading for him. The Browns put all their chips in on him, and they put their money literally where their mouth is by signing him to that big extension already, as opposed to waiting until see how he does. So, yeah, I don't think they made monumental leaps. I'm going to come back to where I started. It all comes back to Deshaun Watson.
Right.
If Deshaun Watson plays like he's expected to play, when he led the NFL in passing yardage just three seasons ago, all this offense will be very explosive. They did what they did last year, made the playoffs with a much better defense, but with a pedestrian offense. The offense really never got going, and a lot of it's because you had five different quarterbacks. So, you know, we can talk all day, but number four, there's a reason he's getting paid what he's getting paid. He's got to get on the field, stay on the field, and he doesn't have to lead the NFL in passing. But he has to just be, you know, up in the top 15 quarterbacks, you know, at least. In the top half of the NFL in quarterback play, I think the Browns, you know, will make the playoffs. If he's a top 10 quarterback, they have a shot to compete, you know, for the whole thing. It's just going to come down to any given day in the playoff. You know, does Lamar Jackson outplay Patrick Mahomes? Well, Mahomes did this year. Or does Joe Burrow outperform Patrick Mahomes? You know, it all comes down to that one playoff game.
Right.
And anything can happen. So I still believe Watson can be and can do what everybody wants him to do, or at least what the Browns expected him to do when they made that big trade.
Well, we all certainly hope so. The 2024 season depends on it, as does 2025 most likely. Next question, another one from Chris MS. He says, we've got a new feature on the site. We ask a burning question of the day in the water cooler. And this was actually our burning question of the day the other day. Who do you think got strongest out of free agency, and who got the weakest in the AFC North? I know you answered that question for people who weren't hanging out in the water cooler that day. What was your take?
I'll try to remember. I think the Steelers, you know, got the best. I mean, just by upgrading their quarterback, we all knew with our own eyes that Kenny Pickett wasn't the answer there, or Mason Rudolph, and they kept talking about, oh, they're our guys, until they weren't. And, you know, I don't know where Russell Wilson, I thought he looked pretty good against the Browns in that Broncos game last year. He beat them. He put up pretty good numbers. But the Justin Fields move, I think I said on here, I would hate to see him go to the Steelers, because I think there's some untapped potential there. We might even said that last week, that they're lurking out there. And they got two pretty good quarterbacks for next to nothing, a 6th-round pick and minimum wage, you know, at least for this year. And I think Fields wanted to go there when he was presented it, because he sees a path. He sees maybe 1 year with Russell and then moves in and has a chance to be the longtime starter there. So they got a great defense. The Bengals, I think, did pretty well. The Ravens, I think, did the worst, though. I mean, they lost several. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Derrick Henry, but, you know, Derrick Henry was available for a reason. He's got a lot of tread on the tires. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. The Browns held him to 20 yards last year. They've done a pretty good job against Derrick Henry. And, you know, he could hurt him, but he's older. He's kind of, you know, he'll be rejuvenated. But they lost a lot of guys that might not be, you know, on everybody's mind, you know. Mm-hmm. They lost the safety. They lost a couple wide receivers. They lost some Kevin Zeitler. They lost another – both their guards. And they lost their defensive coordinator. And so all the way around right now, I'd say Steelers did the best. Ravens did the worst. Browns, Bengals, both improved their teams.
Yeah. The AFC North, you know, the Ravens are just going to reload during the draft like they always do. AFC North still, you know, no one went downhill enough that they're going to be a pushover in 2024. It's still going to be a real gauntlet that teams are going to have to face this year. One more question. Actually, maybe two more. From Red Leader 74, Fred, what do other teams think about us as potential Super Bowl contenders?
You know, I don't know. I still think the Browns are under the radar. They were last year. Nobody talked about the Browns. When we were in Greenbrier, even the players talked about it. I said nobody even mentions the Browns. And I think that was that Deshaun Watson factor of dislike. And he never really played last year. They know they had a pretty good team. They made the playoffs the way it ended. I still think, because they're not looking to Deshaun Watson as an elite quarterback, that a lot of, you know, that they're not going to get. They'll probably be picked to get third or fourth in the division. You know, they might even, you know, rankings would probably have the Browns have the lowest ranked quarterback, you know, in the AFC North. So, you know, I don't really think that matters. I think that it's really, again, come back to number four, you know, that he goes out and he wants to be an elite quarterback, get on the field, stay on the field, and be an elite quarterback. And that, and the Browns will be a Super Bowl contender. They got the roster. They had the roster last year. Last year was the best roster I had ever covered in the 30 some years I'd covered this team. And they have basically the same, if not an upgrade. They just got to, they're going to have injuries, but I've never seen, if you would have told me Nick Chubb was going to be lost for the season in the fifth quarter of the season, I would have said that they won't make the playoffs, you know. They still made the playoffs and were like 11-6 without Nick Chubb and basically without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing in retrospect, but I just I don't think the team's going to be regarded as a Super Bowl contender as long as everyone's cynical about Deshaun Watson, right, and his ability to stay healthy or his ability to perform. And that's the opinion of the – that's the general consensus around the NFL is that not a lot of people believe in Deshaun Watson right now. So I don't think there's a lot of people who believe in the Cleveland Browns' ability to go to the Super Bowl. It is 8 o'clock. I'm sorry if we did not get to your question. We still have a handful left, and I just want to thank everybody for all their questions and comments throughout the show. Great as always. Really appreciate the participation and the great turnout again. Hundreds of people watching across all of our platforms again tonight. Just fantastic. We really appreciate it. We will be back here again next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Fred and I, the rock of the OBR video lineup, OBR Weekly. We've been here for years. We will be here for years. And we'll be back again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. For Fred Greenham, I'm Barry McBride. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.